I'd ask everyone to please rise. Holidays, let's remember those men and women who are in harm's way and the fact that they will not be with their families, and remember the families as well as we salute our great flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'm going to ask Michelle, please, a roll call. All right, we're going to begin. We know we have a quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can count. All right, we are going to... Oh, here she is, okay. All right, we are going to begin our meeting. I have item number one. I'm going to waive, it's a long agenda today. I'm going to waive the chair's report, and a chief executive officer report will be at the end. I need a motion to approve the minutes of the October 28th.
Okay.
I had a motion and a second without objection, so ordered. Item number two, we have comment on two. All right.
Item two is a receive and file report returning back as directed in the September meeting with our action plans to address the assignments of motion adopted at the end of September. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions before we take public comment? Thank you, Terry. Dr. Clyde Williams, followed by Arnold Sachs.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. Debt policy. In this one, how many people are you going to have on the group? Two or three financial advisors? This seems to be a problem. If the debt policy is going to be a problem, if the number of financial advisors is going to be a problem, and you haven't done your lessons learned, and you're going to have that done in the next year or so, how can you have a debt policy that's based upon no understanding of what has been learned by the credit swaps, the rating agencies, and all of the other financial elements that are involved in debt policy? So it seems that you need to have some of the other items done before you can even deal with the debt policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Actually, I appreciate the openness of your debt policy. It seems every project, every the golden touch of MTA is any project debt policy creates a debt. I'm impressed with the legal debt that you've run up, where your legal fees are off the charts. I'm impressed that the expo line is off the chart as far as costs go. I like your debt policy. Get the money first. Don't build anything. And, oh, we're in debt. We have to raise the fares to cover our action plans and action thinking.
The items before us, their motion. Chair, move it. Second, Darian, without objection, so ordered. Item number three, Mr. Leahy.
This is a request that the board approve our participation in the 20-car option from the MetroLink folks.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. We do have public comment. Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Again, I raised the same question that I raised before. With the push-pull policy of Metrolink, the idea that you have a row of rail cars followed by a locomotive, and you have this automated train stoppage program that you're planning on implementing. If the locomotive is at the end, how will it recognize, because it has the cars in front of it, how will it recognize that there's some kind of barrier across the tracks? How will this automated trains program work in that situation? It doesn't seem to make sense unless the locomotive is in the front, because it would have the electronics
to see
or read. Just look for clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay. Should have been at the press conference on Monday. Richard?
Yeah, first, first for Mr. Saxman, these 20 cars are state-of-the-art crash energy management cars that disperse the energy. This is not a PTC program. The PTC program, which will be implemented over the next 2 years, rather, will have the ability based on weight and the weight, the speed, and a variety of conditions to know what's on the track, as well as the inward and outward facing cameras. We also have our cab cars. Even in a push-pull position, our cab cars allow the engineer to be up front and looking at watching what's going on. So,
thank you.
And Mr. Chair, if I might add, this is a very favorable price that we're obtaining these vehicles for. The folks from Hyundai Rotem are very chagrined that we came up with this money almost at the last minute to exercise the option, but the benefit is the traveling public to provide them a much safer and more reliable vehicle.
Absolutely. They were not happy we exercised the option.
No.
Okay, and there's a motion, and I'll move it, seconded by Director Katz without objection, so order. All right, we're going to jump to consent items. Items 7 through 14, I believe. Item 11 has been pulled from the consent calendar, so the remaining items, do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded, with item number 11 being pulled without objection, so ordered. All right, So should I do 11? All right, we'll now go back and we'll do 11 later. We'll go back to item number 4, which is Mr. Katz's motion directing the CEO to develop a draft clean green construction policy for our construction projects. And do we have a staff report on that?
Mr. Chair, we'll be, if should the board so direct, we will be happy to come back as requested.
Okay. All right. We have several speakers. Anchor Patel, Tamara Rahman, or Tamara, I can't see where that's an R and N. Sorry. And Morgan Nguyen, those first three speakers. If you'd come on forward, please. Yes.
Hello. Thank you. Ankur Patel from Chatsworth. I did take public transportation here, 245 to the Orange Line to the Red Line. Now, you're asking in 2B, seek additional input from other stakeholder groups. I suggest you probably have done this already, but look at UCLA's Urban Planning and CSUN's Institute for Sustainability. There are a lot of people like myself who would volunteer our time to help you with all these kinds of things. There are a lot of suits in the room on a Thursday morning. These people are getting paid to do the same thing that you could get volunteers and students at CSUN and UCLA and the Institute of Environment Sustainability to come out and ride the bus for you guys, because I don't think a lot of you guys do that. We can and we are willing to help you do the research, do the legwork. And there are a lot of grad students like myself at CSUN, the underserved, right? The San Fernando Valley is. And we're just looking to give our input, make sure that we can help you and provide this stakeholder support that you guys are looking for. CSUN and UCLA Student Organization.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tamana Rahman. I'm from the American Lung Association in California. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. The American Lung Association in California supports the motion for the development of a draft clean green construction policy. With construction equipment being the second largest source of diesel pollution in California, we commend this proactive move towards reducing these emissions because of significant adverse public health impacts. Even though California has been a national leader in implementing programs that have successfully provided cleaner air, air pollution still adversely impacts public health in many communities. According to the ALA State of the Air 2010 report, LA County still is one of the most polluted air basins in our nation, with diesel being a major contributor. Diesel emissions include a complex mixture of air pollutants that can have a number of adverse health impacts. Children, the elderly, and those with pre-existing chronic health problems are especially vulnerable. And recent findings from the University of Southern California's Children's Health Study reveal that these pollutants do not merely exacerbate asthma, but can cause it.
Okay, good time.
So we urge you to approve this motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for offering your support. Morgan, and then I'll ask Neil Richmond and Arnold Sachs.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Morgan Wyan. I'm an attorney with the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and I'm here in support of the proposal. We appreciate your leadership on this issue, especially in the face of the proposed significant weakening of the state regulation to clean up off-road diesel equipment. MTA can play an important role with the clean construction standards that are being considered. These would provide substantial near-term health benefits as many LA area transportation projects move forward in the next few years. Every day, three times as many Californians die prematurely from the effects of particulate air pollution than in traffic accidents. The clean construction policy put forth today conveys a clear message that public health and clean air are important, and that polluting old equipment will no longer be allowed on publicly funded projects. We support your efforts to usher in clean construction for the region and look forward to working with you to develop the policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Neil? Followed by Arnold Sachs, followed by Dr. Clyde Williams.
On behalf of Breathe LA, I'm here to strongly support Board Member Richard Katz's motion that seeks to promote a clean, green construction policy that would be implemented on construction projects funded entirely or in part by the MTA. In particular, we need clean diesel construction requirements that would require diesel-powered construction vehicles and equipment working to use cleaner fuels and exhaust pollution controls. Construction vehicles and equipment are a major source of uncontrolled diesel soot pollution. The construction industry uses more diesel engines than any other sector. The massive public investment that will occur through the build-out of our transit system in Southern California should not hurt our health or our environment. Technology to drastically cut diesel soot emissions is available and should be used to the greatest extent possible. Taxpayer money should not be used to support dirty equipment when cleaner options are available. I just want to remind the members of the board that within our county, approximately 500,000 adults have asthma. Within our county, approximately 300,000 children have asthma. Of those 300,000, nearly one-third have an emergency visit.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs, Dr. Clyde Williams, and afterwards.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Again, Arnold Sachs. Unlike the previous speaker, I take exception to Mr. Katz making this motion. According to his article in the newspaper regarding the conflict on a rail panel that occurred between when the mayor of Anaheim and the members of the Los Angeles County and Orange County Transportation Board may not serve simultaneously on the California High-Speed Rail Authority Board. Further went on to say that, in addition, an official is deemed to have forfeited his first public office.
We're going to take up item number six, please. Staff?
Chair members, item number six is a budget amendment that would allow the MTA to fund the claims decision just made by the board as regards the Exposition Construction Authority. It authorized the CEO to execute the amendment with the Expo Construction Authority for the additional funds.
And I'll be happy to answer any
$1.5 million.
Pardon me? That case has been moved. Is there a second? There a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Grants of contingency for rail yards and cars. What does that mean?
These are funds that are currently programmed for the subway
out in the second and third decade. And we believe that this is a good thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any objection? So ordered.
$28 million cost overrun.
Arnold Sachs, please.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs. I see Supervisor Molina has left the building. Now you're dipping into subway funds to fund this fiasco of the Expo Line. I'm telling you, your idea should have been to follow the route you did with the Blue Line and the Gold Line, where you change the name, you start building the line from Santa Monica eastbound, you can stop at Culver City, create the crotch, and come back and get more funding from the federal government for a New START project. You worked it for this Blue Line baloney. Work it for this Expo baloney. Be consistent. If you're going to run a deli, serve the right sandwich. Crock.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind comments, sir. Yeah, it's been moved and seconded without objection, so ordered.
Thank you.
Yeah, item number 14. And by the way, before we proceed, just so I forget this, at the end of the meeting, we will be adjourning the meeting in memory of Supervisor Antonovich's sister, Mandy. And we did that at the board meeting, and we will adjourn the meeting in her memory, and our thoughts continue to be with Supervisor Antonovich. Yes, item 14. Application package. Are there any questions? Pardon me? There was?
Yeah.
I apologize.
16.
I apologize. Okay, I'm sorry. No. We'll do item number 15 then. I'm sorry. Yeah. BRT project.
15 is more trigger for here anyway.
I apologize. Item 14 was consent. I didn't cross it off.
Good afternoon, Board. I'm Brad McAllister, Executive Officer of Long Range Planning. And with me is Martha Butler of my staff and Kung Hu, Senior Transportation Engineer for LADOT. Item 15, we're seeking board approval to certify the final environmental impact report for the Wilshire Bus Rapid Transit Project, adopt Alternative A as the locally preferred alternative, adopt the findings of overriding consideration, and the other items in the board report related to this action. We have a brief report for you. I'll start, and Kung Hu with LADOT will conclude. Let's see if we could have the screen, please. Okay. Thanks. First, we want to describe a little bit about how the project works. This project does have very small STARTS funding, about $30 million. We've been very successful and very happy that we have that money available to the project. In looking at how the project works, the project runs from Wilshire, on Wilshire Boulevard from MacArthur Park to the City of Santa Monica line. It's about 8.7 miles within the city and county of LA, but does not include the city of Beverly Hills. The bus lanes will operate in the weekday peak period from 7 to 9 in the morning, from 4 to 7 in the evening. Right-turning autos will be allowed to use the lane, and bikes will also be allowed. The buses will be restricted to the curb lanes except to pass when necessary. There are a variety of improvements associated with this project that keep the system functioning, including traffic signal improvements, turn lanes, selective street widening. Some other key issues about this, the project, once the bus lanes are dedicated for bus use, the cars that would have been throughput in that lane would either move to other lanes on Wilshire or parallel arterials. And because of the sensitive nature of the heavy congestion in the corridor in general, it is a high corridor for bus traffic as well as autos. Outreach and monitoring will be an important part of this program, and we propose to have extensive pre-project public awareness campaigns so that no one's surprised as the project moves towards implementation, as well as a six-month monitoring program with LADOT monitoring the ATSAC system, able to adjust and optimize traffic impacts as they occur in real time. One other important fact about the project is Wilshire is six lanes in our project area, which means you might expect about 30% of the traffic in each lane. But because Wilshire is such poor road condition, and because people get slowed up by people turning right and by buses, our analysis shows that the capacity or the number of through trips in that lane is about 15% as opposed to 33% that you might expect. We're just going to quickly go through the project alternative. We're recommending alternative A, and that's what we have up on the screen. In general, this project is about restriping some segments, reconstruction of other segments. The restriping segments, the project goes basically from MacArthur Park at the east to the city of Santa Monica at the west. The segments that are in red are the restriping segments. The segments in blue are reconstruction. This project also retains jut outs in the Condo Canyon area, which is kind of hashed, this Comstock to Selby area, and addresses not taking parking or trees. And there's a short segment just west of the 405 where the bus lane will end and go back into mixed flow traffic. Another important feature of this program, there was a demonstration on the west side of the project area several years ago. We've added capacity on the eastbound side. We're doing some widening from Barrington to Bonsall, close to the 405, to add a new capacity lane for buses. So therefore, at that point, we're adding capacity, not impacting existing lanes. We're also adding a left turn lane eastbound onto northbound Sepulveda. And in the demonstration project, these were areas of concern where traffic did become more congested. And so we've worked to address that in this study. At the Planning and Programming Committee, there was a lot of discussion about the Selby to Bundy segment, and the committee requested us to seek a decision from FTA as to whether, if that segment was removed, the project could still move forward without risking federal funding, and we did make that request, and the answer we've received from FTA is yes. If that segment, if the board chooses to remove that segment, the project still would be eligible for federal funding. At committee, there was some discussion about how the project worked in terms of like looking at it systematically, and so we have some information for to bring back to you regarding auto and bus travel impacts. There are approximately 20,000 autos carrying about 24,000 people on Wilshire in the project area. And that's both AM and PM peak period. We expect a 10% shift from cars to buses, and that would be about 24,000 shifting. 2,400 shifting, thank you. The average end-to-end time today on the corridor is 48 minutes. We would expect that to increase slightly with the project, to adding another 6 minutes, so a total of 54 minutes end-to-end. Opening day, as with many of our other projects, as people are getting used to it, learning how to use it, there may be more of an impact than after the project is up and running. And we may see on opening day a delay as much as 11 minutes. But so the worst delay is basically a mile, 1 mile, 1 minute per mile from project length. As the project is up and running normally, we would expect it to be closer to half a minute per mile. Looking at the bus side of the equation, we have today approximately 29,000 Metro riders in the project area during morning and evening peak period total. We would expect this to increase from 33,000 to 35,000 riders with the project. So we are seeing an increase in ridership, which is what we're hoping to see. The average end-to-end time today for bus is about 55 minutes. We would expect to improve on that average, seeing a 12-minute reduction. So that would go down to about 43 minutes. Want to talk a little bit about the impact in terms of the intersections we looked at. A lot of the traffic impacts are looked at in traffic engineering in terms of the study intersections. The first thing that our technical team did is that they modeled how the system would work, and they looked for segments that have increased congestion. And based on that, they found where the study area needed to look. So that's how we sized the study area. And based on areas that we expected to have more traffic diverting off of Wilshire and onto other arterials, we identified 74 intersections. And these were the intersections that were the key of the analysis that's identified in the environmental impact report. Now, of those 74 intersections, 10 were fully mitigated through a variety of strategies. 9 were left, and we were able to partially mitigate some of them. And these are on the study map intersection, the intersections that are identified with a blue dot with red around them are the 9 intersections that were not fully mitigated. It's kind of important to note that a lot of those intersections had, 1 to 5 seconds of delay. It was very small. Probably the most significant impact, around 30 seconds of delay, 35 seconds of delay, was at Wilshire and Bundy. And of the 9 intersections, only 3 are directly on Wilshire. The others are on parallel streets that where traffic will move as a result of the project. So if we can go on to the next one beyond that. So just to take a summary of the project benefits, as I mentioned, end-to-end bus travel times we would expect to improve by 12 minutes per trip. In the demonstration project, one of the benefits of bus lanes we noted was schedule reliability. So when buses aren't competing with cars in the lane, we're seeing buses able to keep their schedules 30% better than they're currently able to. Because the project will include curb lane reconstruction and repaving, that certainly benefits the buses during the peak period, but also benefits cars in the non-peak period, as do the capacity increases that we talked about near the 405. Separating the buses from mixed flow, improves kind of the conflict between buses and cars, and, it provides a system benefit for all traffic. And the traffic improvements of the study will benefit not only the buses, because they're signal intersection related, they benefit all traffic going through those intersections. And the final result of the project is that we're seeing about a 1 minute, half a minute to a 1 minute delay in auto traffic end to end, a 1 minute increase, and we're seeing a throughput increase by the study, which is what we were hoping to achieve. We have two slides that just really quickly go you through some of the mitigation type improvements of the projects and at where they're located. I'm not going to go through every intersection, everything, but in general, the mitigation strategies were signal improvements such as left turn arrows and upgrades to the signal priority system, street reconstruction and repaving, and street capacity enhancements, including right and left turn lanes, the widenings that I talked about at Barrington to Bonsall, and the extension of the left turn pocket going north to Sepulveda. So that's a quick summary of the mitigation strategies of the project. We have been working on this project. It's been a very close partnership. I neglected to mention at the beginning with LADOT. They've been our partners day in and day out on this for the last 3 years, and we really appreciate that partnership. And we've all been out doing extensive outreach over this period. So we've had our website, email, and hotline. We even sent notification mailing to all addresses along Wilshire Boulevard. We had 3 sets of public hearings at the initial stage of the process, when we concluded it needed to be a draft EIR, and when the draft EIR was available. So we had 4 meetings at different locations along the corridor 3 different times, and also attended community meetings. We've now gone through the 45-day review process with the EIR. The EIR has been made available at libraries, our website, and provided to 46 other agencies and organizations. And we've announced all of what we've done through a variety of internal communications efforts. Finally, If the board approves the staff recommendation, we would be seeking board approval of actions A through H. So that's seeking the final project approval and concurrence with the findings. We would then move forward in preparing contract agreements with the city and the county for final design and construction. We would, as I mentioned before, community outreach is very important during construction as well as near opening. We'll proceed with that, as well as implementing a six-month monitoring period, closely looking at the impacts as the project initiates. There was discussion at planning and programming about whether the Comstock to Selby segment could be removed. We did ask FTA, and they concurred that, yes, if that's the board's decision, that act would not risk federal funding. If the board does take that action or any other action that's different either from the original project or the recommended alternative A, staff would need to do further traffic impact analysis and update the environmental document. We would hope that if the board chose to do that, we would be able to do it before April. We need to be moving fast because we need to have a funding agreement with the feds by September. If the board chose to do that or any other staff work, we would need to amend the contracts for our two consultants, ITERIS, our traffic engineers, and Jones and Stokes, our environmental consultants, because for the work that we've done to date, we would exceed the limits of the planning bench, and I would need board authority to do more work, to your approval to spend the funding to do more work. I would like to introduce Kang Hu, LADOT, to make a few closing remarks.
Good afternoon. I'm Kang Hu with LADOT. We in LADOT are fully supportive of this project. We have partnered with Metro for the past 3 years during the environmental process. We understand there will be traffic impact, and that's why we pushed to elevate this project from initial study to full EIR to disclose all the impacts and consider project alternatives. After a very thorough and comprehensive study, we believe this project alternative with some street widening segment and also proper mitigation measures along Wilshire, the traffic impact will be manageable. As Brad indicated, that our analysis show that there are more people riding the buses than driving on Wilshire Boulevard. The net benefit for bus passengers are greater than the additional delay for cars within the project. And more importantly, this bus lane project can sustain future growth, and it will encourage more shift from cars to transit and build a strong passenger base for the subway to the sea. And also, I'd like to emphasize that it is important to maintain a continuous bus lanes to get the maximum benefit. If we exempt one segment in between and create fragmented bus lanes, and it would be confusing to all traffic. The weaving in and out of curb lanes would diminish the benefit for this project, and also it will create environmental problems. Thank you.
All right. Okay, are there any questions before we go to public comment? Okay, if not, we'll ask the questions later then. First of all, I ask, I believe, is it Jay Greenstein from Councilmember Koretz's office? Is it Jay? Yeah, okay. And Ryan Snyder, and then Esperanza, your third, please.
My name is Jay Greenstein, and I'm the District Transportation Deputy for Los Angeles City Councilmember Paul Koretz. The council member has requested that I appear on his behalf. He would like for me to respectfully request that you remove from this project the less than 1 mile Westwood segment between Comstock and Selby Avenues that travels through portions of his LA council district. He's pleased with the letter last week from the FTA stating that the removal of this segment would not jeopardize funding for the remainder of the project. The residents in the Westwood area have stated that bus speeds along the segment do not appear to be significantly impeded even during peak traffic hours. Councilmember Koretz, who has spent his whole life as a Westside resident, has also made the same observation. The community has commissioned a study of bus speeds by Raju and Associates, which also calls into question the need for this project to be extended through this segment. This is a unique portion of Wilshire Boulevard. It is primarily comprised of large residential buildings along with about six large, well-established religious institutions. Most of the remainder of the project area is commercial in nature. The council member and the residents appreciate that Metro has offered alternative A for the project, and that which would save the jut outs, but we believe that the removal of the entire segment is justified and preferable. He appreciates the support on this request from the members of your Programming and Planning Committee, and that the FTA understands the need to remove this segment from the project. Now he appeals to you, as the members of the full board, to support us in this request. Thank you for your consideration.
Excuse me.
All right.
Ryan Snyder had to leave, Chair.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Esperanza Martinez, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. Today we are here to urge the board to adopt staff's recommendation and reject any exemptions that are put before you. The inconvenience to drivers in Condo Canyon is a whopping 30 seconds. Staff's presentation states that the increase in travel time for cars is a six minute total end-to-end over 12 miles, allowing about 6 months for about 6,000 people to decide to leave their cars and get on the bus. And from my understanding, that's part of what this agency is trying to accomplish. If we want to talk about protecting the civil rights of bus riders, this would be a massive civil rights violation to allow for a small group of wealthy white Westsiders to determine what this project is going to look like is a massive civil rights violation. The request to the FDA did not cite any technical arguments, just community concerns. So we hope that the board isn't going to allow for a handful of Westsiders to define community concerns and allow for the civil rights of tens of thousands of bus riders who ride Wilshire daily be violated. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Ramon, Crystal McMillan, Stephanie Taylor, the next three speakers.
Thank you, members of the board. Eric Roman from the Bus Riders Union. We're very close to a historic step today for the agency and for the region. We appreciate the work that Metro staff and LOTOT have done to get us this far, but our backward-thinking friends from Condo Canyon and Supervisor Yaroslavsky have unfortunately thrown up a roadblock. They cry traffic catastrophe through Condo Canyon, but finding the facts to back their argument is a little bit like looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. At the end of the day, it's all smoke and mirrors, right? I read the EIR carefully. I read the Raju study carefully. I challenge Supervisor Yaroslavsky or anyone to show me where in either of the studies it shows the traffic is worse in Condo Canyon than anywhere else along the stretch. Staff's presentation already showed you 19 intersections have negative traffic impact out of 74 that were studied. None of those are in Comstock to Selby. None of them are even close to it, right? So at the end of the day, we want to know who on this board is willing to stand up with us and ask these hard questions and stand up to these bullies from Condo Canyon. Ultimately, what we ask is for you to approve the full project with no exemptions. Thank you.
Bill McMillan, followed by Stephanie Taylor. And I'd ask, after Stephanie, Michelle Lopez.
My name is Crystal McMillan, and I'm here today to urge this board to accept the EIR with no exemptions to build the full 8.7 miles of the Wilshire Bus Only Lane. I'm speaking not only as a member of the Bus Riders Union, but also a resident of Koreatown, who for over 11 years has traveled along Wilshire and seen firsthand the traffic problems that could be impacted by this bus only lane. I spent the last year working at the state and federal level, pleading for money to save the bus system here in Los Angeles. For this board to offer to return $3 million, the first influx of money into the bus system in too many years is a slap in the face for this entire city. We're facing double-digit unemployment in LA County, and this project will not only impact the health of our citizens by reducing car traffic, but would quickly create green jobs for the city. We're asking for strong, decisive leadership from the members of this board to take this project across the finish line. We all have an investment in improving the city, and I would hope that would start here with this bus-only lane that will truly unite downtown with the West Side. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie Taylor, Michelle Lopez, and then Rosalio.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephanie Taylor. I'm here to represent the Green LA Coalition Transportation Working Group. and I urge the board to support the implementation of the complete Wilshire bus only lane project to support the staff alternative A. An exemption to Condo Canyon or any other part of Wilshire will set a dangerous precedent that will jeopardize the success of the project in achieving the traffic flow and air quality goals by fragmenting the project, as already stated by the staff. Already, other groups on Wilshire are indicating their stretch of Wilshire should be exempt as well. Furthermore, concerns about increased traffic congestion are better addressed by not decreasing bus-only lanes, because we need to get cars off the road, and we expect that the Wilshire bus-only lane will be a successful demonstration of an effective and good-for-the-environment alternative. So we hope that the Wilshire project is the first of a network of bus-only lanes that will run throughout the county. So in closing, please do not jeopardize and be short-sighted and jeopardize bus-only lanes by granting any exemptions. Thank you.
Michelle Lopez, then Rosalio Mandiola, and then I think it's Ryan Lehman or Uman. I can't tell whether it's an L or an H. All right.
Hi, my name is Ashley Franklin. I'm speaking on behalf of Michelle Lopez, who had to leave earlier today. Her speech reads...
Your name is?
Ashley Franklin.
Did you sign up?
No, I'm speaking on behalf... Can my time stop, please?
I'm going to fill out a card at some point. Go ahead and speak.
Sure. Okay, my name is Michelle Lopez, and I'm a bus rider. I ride it every day. I attend Cal State Northridge, and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union. I'm here to urge you to adopt the environmental impact report for the bus-only lane as is, without any exemptions. The benefits of this project outweighs the complaints of a small group of residents. Recently, the United Nations held a meeting in Cancun on climate change. Thus, the world governments are meeting on global warming because the future looks unpromising for young people like me. We need to cut down on our emissions, especially those coming from cars, by at least 80% in the next 30 years. Otherwise, we are headed for complete climate disaster.
Thank you.
Could I have a little more time just to...
No, Rosie, we have a lot of folks. Rosie, pardon me? Rosalio is not here. Ryan?
Rosalio is here.
Okay.
Buenas tardes, presidente y miembro de la mesa.
Good afternoon, chair and members of the board.
Mi nombre es Rosalio Mendiola y soy miembro del sindicato de pasajeros.
My name is Rosalio Mendiola and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Soy trabajador del hotel de Wilshire y de HERE Local 11.
I'm a member of Local 11, HERE, and I work at the Hotel Beverly Wilshire.
Y soy usuario diario en Wilshire Boulevard. Estoy aquí para apoyar el proyecto completo de 8.7 millas.
I'm a daily rider on Wilshire Boulevard, and I'm here today to support the implementation of the 8.7 mile bus only lane.
Solo para autobuses en Wilshire Boulevard. En el hotel somos 750 trabajadores, 75% usuarios del autobús.
At the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, there are 750 workers, 75% of whom are daily bus riders.
Que serán parte del grupo de 29,000 beneficiarios de este proyecto.
Which will be a part of the 30,000 riders that will benefit from this project.
Les pido urgente, prioricen este grupo de 29,000 usuarios y no solamente a 90 lugares de parqueo que preocupan al grupo de Condo Cañón.
I urge you to prioritize this project and approve it as is, and to not allow the 90 parking spots along the Condo Canyon area to define how this project moves.
Se me olvidó decir que este grupo de Condo Canyon parquea sus carros en sus propios garages. Y no en Wilshire Boulevard.
So I wanted to mention that I think a lot of the people that live along the Condo Canyon stretch probably don't park on Wilshire Boulevard, but in their actual car garages.
Gracias, gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Ryan here. Okay, Malcolm Klugman, followed by Alexis Lance, followed by Roxanne Stern.
I wanted to propose a possible solution for that corridor. If you went ahead and paved that whole section, I remember hearing Zev say he actually, I was surprised he actually rode the 720 bus, but he said it was really bad shock absorbers, which those articulated buses do have. They don't have good shock absorbers. So that road does, that section runs very quickly. Unfortunately, it doesn't run very smoothly. So if you repave the whole, all the lanes in that corridor, and then have a 3-month trial period to see if the dedicated bus lane really disrupts that traffic. If it does, get rid of it, and then you'll have a repaved street for the people in that neighborhood. If not, we'll let it continue, and the bus riders will have a better ride.
Thank you. All right, Alexis Lance, Roxanne Stern, and then Garrick Ruiz.
Thank you, board members, for your time and attention today. My name is Alexis Lance. I'm the Planning and Policy Director for the Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition. I'm here today on behalf of the cyclists and transit users who commute by bicycle and bus along Wilshire Boulevard. I'm also a graduate of UCLA who, along with thousands of other students, traveled by bus and bicycle to access my education. Wilshire Boulevard is the linear job core of our region. Today, you need to prioritize the interests of those who work, go to school, shop, and the majority of working people who live along Wilshire Boulevard and support this project over the few who are unable to think beyond their own self-interest to provide for a greater and greener Los Angeles, one with increased equity and mobility for all its residents, not just those who own cars. The Wilshire Boulevard project will vastly improve and enhance the boulevard for all users of the roadways, but only if you adopt a complete alternative A, as DOT and your own staff have recommended. You need to think beyond the special interests of the elite West Side homeowners, especially since the final EIR has shown that there will be no adverse traffic impacts in their area. Thank you for your attention today.
Thank you. Roxanne Stern, followed by Garrick Ruiz, followed by Barbara Holland. Barbara Lott Holland.
I am Roxanne Stern, and I'm here to say that I support the BRT project for all of Wilshire Boulevard in rush hour. Wilshire Boulevard was created by Gaylord Wilshire in the 1890s, so, and it's been progressing all these years, so it has been there a long time, much longer than the condos that were built much later. And anybody who has bought something on the corridor knew that that was a major link between downtown and the west side. It's no surprise it's not something being pulled out of a hat. I don't know if this will help, this project will help, but we must be willing to take action to improve traffic on our streets. Give MTA the means to help bus riders and bicyclists, which in turn will encourage others to use public transportation. Have all of Wilshire be part of the project. Vote for what is right for Los Angeles.
Okay. Roxanne, Garrick, are you here?
Garrick, I believe.
Okay. Barbara Lott Holland, followed by Stephen Resnick, I believe, and then Jerry Brown.
Good day, board members. Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. We are here today to encourage the board to adopt the complete plan, the 8.7 miles, with no exemptions. We have worked on this project for over 5 years to ensure the successful completion, to ensure that the $23.5 million, all of it, be spent on the Wilshire Corridor. We have met successfully with business owners who agree and support the plan. We have continuously met with our local officials. We have also negotiated to keep the joint outs, which are there for an environmental green space. This project is a good start to reduce the harmful emission from single passenger cars that are negatively impacting our community and the people. Don't give in to the whims of 90 driveways over 30 versus 30,000 bus riders that use this corridor. Please implement the plan as the EIR predicts. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Resnick, Jerry Brown, and then Sandy Brown.
Good afternoon. Stephen Resnick, President of the Westwood Homeowners Association, representing over 3,000 homeowners. Moving buses along the Wilshire corridor is a laudable goal which we support. However, if dedicated lanes are put in the Westwood area, it'll create a problem that doesn't exist. Buses will move slower, we will lose valuable parking, and we will gain some of the most additionally some of the most congested intersections in the country. We ask that you exclude the Westwood section from the project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Jerry Brown, and then
Chairman.
Sandy Brown.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd ask that we maintain the decorum. People are entitled to their points of view. Just because you're white and you live in Westwood doesn't mean you don't have an entitlement to a point of view. Talk about a civil rights violation. So I would appreciate it if the people who have their very strong and considered point of view in favor of this project give the same courteous attention that the people who are opposed to it gave you.
Thank you. Well said.
I'm Jerry Brown. I am representing many of the buildings on Wilshire Boulevard which contributed financially to the independent traffic study which was done, which showed that basically in the Condo Canyon of Wilshire Boulevard, the implementation of a bus-only lane will have major adverse impact on automobile traffic, which should be as much of a concern to you as does the fact that the implementation of this bus-only lane in that area would result in no improvement in bus transit time. In addition to that, I am president of the newest neighborhood council in Los Angeles, the Westwood Neighborhood Council, which last night voted unanimously to support the exclusion of the Comstock to Selby segment of the bus only lane. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandy Brown, and then Rosa Miranda, and then Joel Epstein.
Good afternoon. My name is Sandy Brown. I'm here to tell you that we do support the Westwood bus-only lane. Our studies, however, show that buses do not experience a delay in this segment today. There is no significant benefit from the dedicated bus lanes in Westwood. We are asking you at this time that that segment be removed. Also, ridership would not be affected if it was removed. We're just asking for your support in this segment. We did bring our consultant with us today. If you have any questions, he would be happy to answer them for you, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Rosa Miranda, Joel Epstein, and then Arnold Sachs.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del Sindicato de Pasajeros.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Esta mañana estoy aquí pidiéndoles a esta mesa que apruebe las recomendaciones del personal en el proyecto de carril solo para autobuses completamente.
Today I'm here to ask that you approve staff's recommendation to implement the full Wilshire bus only lane.
Muchas veces esta mesa discute que tiene que aumentar tarifas y recortar servicios, la razón porque no tienen dinero.
So on many different occasions, this board has come to bus riders telling us that you have no money, therefore you have to raise fares, you have to cut service.
Y para mí es ofensivo que estén pensando en regresar 3 millones al gobierno federal por los berrinches de Condo Canyon.
So to me, it's extremely offensive that now this board is talking about possibly returning $3 million back to the federal government because a group of people from the west side has raised community concerns.
Y esto abrió las puertas para que otros grupos de residentes como los de Brentwood traigan sus propias quejas y pedir sus propias exención.
Which then opened the floodgates for other communities on the west side to ask for their own exemption.
Es precedente y terrible que personas con dinero y con conexiones políticas puedan lograr lo que quieren sin tener argumentos basados en hechos.
It's outrageous that a group of wealthy people with political connections could successfully get this exemption without having any sound arguments.
Aquí tienen 215 cartas de apoyo en este proyecto de personas que las recaudamos en menos de 24 horas.
So right here, I want to hand in 215 letters of support for the bus-only lane that we collected in the last 24-plus hours that we've already sent to the MTA staff.
Gracias.
Thank you. Joel Epstein, Arnold Sachs, then Dr. Clyde Williams.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Joel Epstein, and I'm a Metro customer and a Brentwood resident. I regularly ride the 720 bus. What I typically do, as I did this morning, is I rode the 720 to Westwood and, sorry, to Wilshire and Western, and there I board the Purple Line. And I can't wait until both the Purple Line is built out to the west side and until we have this terrific bus rapid transit line implemented. I'm here to say that I hope that the special lane, basically, as everyone here knows, the special lanes will speed the BRT along LA's backbone. It should include the stretch, the so-called Condo Canyon. It should also include, please, the stretch between the 405 and Centinela. The BRT, again, as everybody knows, will create a much faster commute, both for those smart enough to ride and for those who have no alternative, as some of the other people have noted. Lastly, I want to say the Orange Line provided a proof that basically with determination we can overcome pockets of resistance to this sort of thing, and I would urge you to implement the program as proposed.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, Dr. Clyde Williams, and then Paz Jane? Oz? I think it's J-A. Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. I'm concerned that after 50 years of studying, you're only about 20 years away from implementation. I'm also concerned, based on the way you handled the subway to the sea, having your outreach programs and having routes chosen over a year and a half ago, and now recently having people come back with a new route decision that would affect going under Beverly Hills High School. So when you say you have alternatives to choose from, when you say you have a route process done, and you say your studies have done, we've heard this for 50 years.
We have a motion. His motion before us as amended to include all major construction projects, seconded, the amendment seconded by Supervisor Molina as the maker and the second of the motion. Do you accept that?
I would see that as a friendly motion, and I fully support the Fasana amendment.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Katz.
I'd like to get some clarification on the Fasana amendment in terms of what it means for all the Measure R projects. Does it mean now that all the EIRs that are in process or are going into process are now going to be stopped for another economic analysis before they go forward? So Expo, Gold Line.
I think that, I mean, that's the way I'm interpreting it. You're basically going to shut down.
Delaying the Gold Line as well. I'm just asking because I want to understand the full scope of this so we have lay it out there.
And I definitely would be a friendly amendment.
Really bad idea, this motion, but I think if it's going to be applied, it should be applied uniformly. I mean, we don't have precise estimates on a lot of our projects. I think, you know, it's interesting this board as a whole has looked at trying to streamline processes to have project readiness as we move forward with Measure R and trying to leverage funds at the state and the federal level. But I think if this board thinks it's a good idea to apply it to all project or to one project, I think it should be applied uniformly. Certainly for those of us in the San Gabriel Valley that advocate for this project, we believe if the board wants to support Director Nigerian's motion, it should be applied uniformly.
And I guess my other part of the question is, I just want to, I guess two parts of one, how does this differ than the amendment that I had introduced that the board adopted when we went through this discussion last time about doing an economic analysis that's prepared at the same time the EIR is ready to come before the board, because it sounds to me like we're doing that. And then the second one would be, I would like somebody from the staff, if you could explain best you can, how you see the combination of the Nigerian motion and the Fasana amendment impacting on 3010 or Measure R in terms of project rate.
Sure. And then maybe Paul will add to, or Doug to what I'm going to say here. In my discussions with Paul and Mr. Failing on this, my question to Mr. Fillion was, can we do this and keep the project moving? Can we come back in February, in effect, and get this done? And the fact is, we will have, I think, some good data on what this project will look like in February. I think before applying it to all Measure R projects, I'd really like to have a chance for us to talk about it. It is a little bit cart before the horse. But Paul, do you want to add to that, or Doug?
We can bifurcate. By the way, we can bifurcate the two. We can bifurcate the amendment and then the main motion.
Well, I'd just like to remind everyone of the purpose of doing the engineering and the design is to get to the point where you can pin down the cost.
Right.
And I want to caution that any estimate that's done in advance of that completion of design will be an incomplete cost estimate and will be subject to revision. You can't guess. It's nothing more than a guess before you do the engineering what the cost will be.
Yeah, I think, I mean, part of the problem here is people ask questions about the project that need to be answered, but then but the point of asking the questions is to not do the analysis that would allow the questions to be answered, and therein lies part of the problem here.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
And I'm not, I mean, let's be clear, I am not asking for or advocating a precise scope of work ready to be submitted to bidders for an RFP. By no means am I doing that. But certainly we have resources available to get within a reasonable range of what the costs are going to be. And if what we're saying that it's wrong for this agency to come down and get cost estimates, reasonable cost estimates of projects until we start them and get into it, then I think that's wrong. I think we should know what this project and what every Measure R project is going to cost. Let's find out what it is.
If
what
we're saying, we're digging a hole. You said you weren't an engineer. You can't do it without engineering.
If what we're saying is we're digging a hole and we don't know how much it's going to cost before we're done with it, then we have serious problems here at this agency.
Projects.
Well, you said you weren't an engineer. We need the engineering done before you get a cost estimate.
Yeah. I can sit down with an engineer and come up with an estimate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we'll spend $90 million for it.
All right, Mr. You want to punch him in, Mr. Councilman? These are.
Thank you very much. And I think that's, I mean, that begs a question when the response is we need to do the engineering to figure out how much it's going to cost. And therein lies the problem because you have communities from all the way from Mount Washington to Highland Park. We don't know what the project is or what communities will be impacted. I think the Measure R project, they're a bit more defined. We could already estimate a lot easier on those projects than we could on this one. And that's the trouble I have with this project. We haven't really told the community what is the project, where we're going to study. We have a huge map that we're looking at. How is that not true, Ms. Molina?
I'm not. Supervisor Molina, could you do your mic, please?
To do the options. It's not true. Come on. You're buying into what other people are saying.
No, you read the board report that we adopted. It is not clear what the project is, where it's going to run in Northeast Los Angeles.
And you know that.
If you have a broad spectrum from like Mount Washington to Highland Park to Glassall Park, we haven't told the community where what's the route.
And not you know that.
How could you not?
You have to put the various options under the EIR. You know that.
There are very broad options. That's my point.
Because
if we narrow the scope of this project, that will help us right now get better estimates.
You are always welcome when that was being done to narrow that scope. We always have known.
Well, it's not in the board report.
I understand. So now you're going from a report that there's there a year and a half ago, which had every opportunity, which we did everything within the framework of what we could do. That's why I'm saying it's one thing to be an advocate when the community doesn't want something. But here, when we have to make a decision and that information is before us, you know that under the EIR we have to provide the option to say that we can't give them a definitive thing until the EIR is complete.
I know that, Ms. Molina. I'm a land use attorney. I know what environmental documents entail. However, in this case, when you're looking at most of the Northeast as a possibility, what the route will be for this project, if we pull out the board report right now and you can show me a better, more defined scope of what this project entails, I'll agree with you. Up to this point, I have not seen that.
Well, again, you want to play those games, just walk right over here and I'll draw you the line of where it's going to go.
Hey, all right. But I'd like to see that. I'd like to see where the line is.
Miss Molina.
It hasn't been determined by anyone.
Miss Molina.
Okay.
If I could finish my time.
You can absolutely finish your time. I'm trying to bring order so we can hear you.
Great, thank you. Miss Molina.
Keep it down out there and peace and joy. You know, it's holiday season.
This body will act upon whatever is adopted in board reports and not what lines you draw behind your desk, Miss Molina.
You know, right now the options are this.
Okay.
But this is the line. I mean,
whether or not it's specific in the line or not, there are routes that are under consideration, and I concur with what Supervisor Molina is saying. It's not a guessing game. I mean, you're making it sound like it's a guessing game when it truly isn't a guessing game. And we're trying to do the engineering to see what that financial impact will be, to see what kind of a project, whether we can afford it or not.
I mean, with all due respect to Director Molina, and I appreciate her fiscal positions in many meetings in the past, and one of the points you have always made is that we are being unfairly burdened with cost overruns on projects that should have been
anticipated.
Am I not
supporting your motion, sir?
I'm not sure if it's a Trojan horse now. I mean, it's been described as a Trojan horse.
No, I'm supporting your motion because you're correct about cost overruns, and I agree. If we need these estimates, and that's a better way to do it, I'm in favor of it. Do it for all the projects, because I supported the amendment. What is incorrect is the fact that we more or less don't know where we're going. I know what we have to do, okay. So don't misconstruct misdirect my point of view
please,
here.
Please... strike my comments
Thank
critical
you.
Of Ms. Molina's position. I
wow,
apologize.
That changed rather quickly when she said she supported your motion. So that's what. Now we're in the holiday season here. Mr. Katz.
Hanukkah was just over, but I just would like Doug, the amendment that we had adopted before about doing a cost analysis that's to be presented to this board at the same time as the EIR. Is that work ongoing?
Yeah, yes, sir. Your motion from earlier where the final cost benefit, and we need to define that final project through the EIR process and then associate the benefits with what that final project is. That is ongoing and will come together at the final EIR, sir.
Well, then the question I would have with the adoption, because that's where I'm confused about Mr. Najarian's motion and the way I feel that it's just another delay tactic, because we clearly adopted Mr. Katz's motion to have the cost analysis come together at the same time as we did the EIR. And because of this ongoing discussion we're having right now, now all of a sudden this motion pops up and it's going to be another 2 months and then something else will happen and, you know, the road turned left and Supervisor Molina, you told me he's going to turn right and we're back to square one again. And that's why I don't support the motion. We are asking for a financial analysis and we're asking for it to come together at the same time as the EIR.
Well, my only comment, Mr. Chair, is, and I understand what Mr. Failing has told us, is it impossible to get us figures sooner than later upon the completion of the entire EIR? I mean, why can't you give us something now? And I don't want, you know, it doesn't have to be down to the penny, but clearly, as a professional and your team of professionals should be able to, within a day or two, come to us and say, well, look, this is what we think it is, or this is the appropriate range. The $1 billion by Snowball is out the window. The $14 billion by Eisenstein is out the window. Give us something closer to narrow it down. And you shouldn't take 2 months to do that. And I thought I was being generous in the motion to give you that extra time that you might need. Clearly, we're not saying stop the presses, but we're saying let us know what it is. In the event that it's a $12 billion tunnel, we should know now because that kills all the PPP studies and everything else. In the event it's $2 billion, well, hey, that's the deal of the century, and we can put full speed ahead if need be. But we need to know that
And we should be able to get that information.
Just again, I concur with the chair that this motion, my understanding is that it would be a delay given the other motions that have been made prior. If the board feels differently, I think it should be applied uniformly to all projects, which is the purpose of my amendment.
I don't support Mr. Fasano's amendment either, and I'm going to ask that we bifurcate the two and do the amendment first, which is to make this motion apply to all projects, which will basically shut down some existing projects and work that's going on right now. And I understand where you're coming from on that, you know, to sort of make it look like, hey, if you're going to do it for one, you got to do it for everybody. And I understand the sense of fairness. I'm just opposed to shutting down. I mean, that's what's happened here. I mean, we always try, because things get more expensive just because we keep shutting things down and restarting the engine. So we're going to vote on the motion, the amendment first, which is to have the Nigerian motion apply to all projects in process and future projects, all Measure R projects. So,
which one is the Trojan horse? I want to vote against that one.
It's the one. It's one. The one right behind the Bruin Bear.
All right.
Chair, point of clarification. The COO has stated that Nigerian's motion will not delay the project should it go forward. Just sort of clarify.
Is that correct?
My direction to Doug is that we will get this work done and come back without.
We're working on already.
Project. Correct.
Okay. So the amendments before us. Clear. Can you clear the machine so we can vote? You got. This is the amendment to have the Nigerian.
And can I just make one? Is that what was said? There will be no delay on any project.
Oh, no.
No, this is just
710 only.
We're voting on all of them. But that issue of no delay would not apply to the other projects that you're trying to apply this amendment to.
It would create a delay for the other projects?
Mr. Chair, what I'd like to do is to come back to you with a thoughtful analysis of what this process change would mean if applied to all Measure R projects. I believe that there are cases where it would create delays.
And we should put the whole thing over.
Sana amendment.
Come on.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. That's not very clear. That's sort of. I don't understand. Where would that create a problem?
Excuse me. The notion just came up. We haven't had a chance to review.
I understand, but the point is, the other project, are you saying it's not going to create a delay?
I believe that Doug and Paul and I have discussed this, that we can get on this one project, get this work done. We already have a great deal of work underway on the project, so I think that we can get this work done and come back in February.
In February. And right now, under every Measure R problem, you couldn't do this project. You couldn't do the same thing.
I don't know yet.
You can't make a blanket statement, sir.
He said he wanted time to come back.
Then I'm incorrect. I thought he said that it would create a delay for other Measure R projects.
Possibly, but without a thoughtful analysis, he said he couldn't say that for sure.
Well, can we amend it in such a way so that we look at those projects and those that it might create a delay, that he could come back and give us a list?
Well, the other option is to take the amendment, the Fasano amendment, as it relates to all other projects, and continue that to February and ask for a staff report back.
So moved.
Well, that would be good. So then what we would do is take that amendment.
This should go over too then.
No.
No. Okay. There's a motion, and Cheryl seconded to move the Fasano amendment to the next meeting in
February.
No,
I thought it would be the other way around. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought the thing was to move forward that amendment right now, and that he would bring back a list of those projects that would delay. That way we would know that we don't want to delay those projects, all right, that he would bring back a list of those that it would delay. Since he doesn't know now.
No, that's what they would come back with at the next meeting, list.
But again, Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify what Mr. Leahy said. He said potentially those other projects would have a delay. He hasn't had an opportunity to look at them. I appreciate that. If that is the case, and we're going to have this motion, potentially, we're just saying to have uniformity, why not bring back, he could give it thoughtful analysis in the next 2 months, yes,
yeah,
of which projects it might delay.
I think he should have an analysis of all the project as it is impacted by the, I mean, that's what he's going to do. I mean, because you basically, that's, you broad brush the entire process with this amendment.
So let's carry the whole thing over.
So then, would we carry over the whole thing and so we get
we can do that as far. I mean, I don't have a problem.
Take a vote.
No, no. I want to understand. So I just again, so it's all the same, Zeb. Are we saying then let's move forward all of it till February so that the staff could give it thoughtful analysis as to whether it will create a delay or not?
My amendment, which was actually...
I understand what your amendment was, but just a second. I just want to clarify. Would that be right?
Wait a minute. We have bifurcated the two items. We have the Fasana amendment before us right now.
And, sir, I want
not
to talk
seven,
about
not
a substitute...
original Nigerian motion.
A substitute motion.
Pardon me?
I would like to talk about a substitute motion.
Okay.
All right. So I'm asking a clarification of the question, and that is that if, in fact... we don't know what Measure R projects will be delayed. And if we could carry all of it forward, we would know in February where this uniform fiscal issue, again, to create so that there is honor and respect in these numbers, could we carry it all forward and we would have Mr. Leahy and staff bring back a report which Measure R's effect might be delayed if we were to implement this and whether the 710 tunnel would be delayed. Wouldn't that be true? So I would so substitute and say that a report come back on all of it as to which projects would be delayed if we were to implement this motion. That's my substitute.
I'll second.
Okay. So we have a substitute.
No, you have an amendment.
No, we have... Substituted the amendment, I know.
No, I substituted the motion.
No. Understand. Okay.
Just a clarification.
All right. So the item before us now is to take the Fasano amendment, the Nigerian motion, with a report back at the February meeting of the impact on Measure R projects, including the 710, if we were to have this new policy go in place. Because basically what Director Nigerian is asking for is a brand new policy. Okay? And so for a sense of fairness, so that item's before us. Is there any objection to that?
So my motion is now subsumed by the Molina substitution
right.
motion.
Right. To move the 710, your Nigerian motion and the Fasana amendment to the February meeting.
I'm getting six or seven smiles for my motion now, Mr. Chair.
It's so good, we love it.
To death.
Zev loves it.
Again,
he's
Mr.
Good
Chair,
at
it's
that.
About the process, and I think more open and transparent we are, and the more time we can give staff to fully analyze it, I am. I'm not running for election, Mr. Katz.
No, but the point being,
I will not object to the. To the Molina substitute.
Well, because I'm really concerned that about Director Fasana's amendment and the impact on projects. So if we continue the Fasana amendment to February, then we need to continue your motion to February.
Objection to that, I think.
Okay. All right. And there's no objection to...
We continue it. They're all going to give it thoughtful, and you're going to bring back a list, right?
And the potential delays on each and every project. Okay, with that, without objection, kumbaya, it passes.
Stand together.
Thank you all for coming down. All right, I'm going to, if my colleagues will concur, I'm going to have us adjourn.
Recess,
to closed session, since we got everyone here, because there's an item in closed session that impacts a future item on this agenda. So we need to get that cleared up. Okay?
How long?
I can't tell you how long. Hopefully not long. Well, I'm going to do an EIR. Said I didn't want that. All right, excuse me.
Excuse me. I want to can I have your attention, please? Two things. One, Mr. Sachs, you've signed up to speak on the closed session item, and I'm going to ask our county council to identify the item that we'll be discussing in closed session at this point, not the entire closed session agenda. Okay?
Item CS4 on the agenda, it's conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation.
Okay. All right. This is item number four, Mr. Sachs. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Supervisor Kanabe, because this addresses
we're going to close
post session. For the MTA board. I've looked in today's newspaper. I looked in the Daily Breeze, which I have a copy of, and I looked in the LA Times, which I have a copy of. And there is no mention of Mr. Katz's exoneration off of the state legislature.
Okay,
state
that's not order. Thank you. We're going to go close session.
The state attorney general's
comments. You're out of order.